everyone, and welcome to our newest podcast on Prep Advisory. It's my pleasure to be here with Ellen Lawless. Ellen is one of the world's leading MBA consultants. She is the founder and CEO of Ellen Lawless Consulting. You can see the link to it in the description of this podcast. And of course, contact her if you have any questions or need help for your MBA preparation. Ellen and her team have 99% success rate getting professionals like you placed in the world's most competitive MBA programs. Today's topic will be the four types of stories you should prepare for your MBA essays. So now I'm giving the word to Ellen. Hello, Ellen. Nice to meet you again.
Yeah, so good to have you. It's really nice to be back. It's always fun to see you guys.
It's my pleasure. And do you want to add something to my presentation?
I think you introduced me really well. But we have a decade of experience working with MBA candidates all over the world for all different kinds of programs. I'll turn my video off too. For all different kinds of programs, we work with people from Europe, for the US programs, Australia, all over the place. And we really like to focus on helping people tell their stories in a way that's really unique to them. Especially kind of nowadays with AI and that whole aspect of thinking about applications, it's really important to have that profile be really unique.
Thank you. So my first question is, of course, what are these four types of stories that people should prepare for their MBA essays?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different types of stories that people might think about, right? And it depends a little bit on your application. You know, you might be applying for a school like, Columbia used to have a question about a book, movie, or song that represents you and why, right? In that case, you might have to deviate a little bit from this list. But the first one that I think is really important is to have some kind of essay or some kind of story that relates to your goals. This is really important because essentially you want to be able to show the admissions committee that you have something that backs up what you're saying in terms of, you know, this is what I want to do with my career. This is why. And we don't want that to come out of nowhere, right? We want to show that there's context, that you're, you know, somebody who's generally qualified to do what you say you want to do. So some kind of story that focuses on your experience with your goals or your motivation for your goals is going to be really important. We also like to have a story focused on leadership. If you Google, you know, who is Harvard looking for? Who is Wharton looking for? You'll see kind of a list of characteristics, and that's usually going to kind of come down to three things. It varies a little bit, but generally three things. First is going to be intellectual kind of skills and academic prowess. So they're going to look at your GMAT score and your grades. One is going to then be your leadership potential. So it's really good to have a leadership story that shares, you know, your experience with leadership. That doesn't necessarily have to be managing a team at work. It can be leadership within the community. It can be leading through influence at work. So it's good to have something that shows off your leadership skills or potential. That third characteristic that the schools are looking for is something that makes you unique. You know, how can you contribute to the diversity of the class? That's something that they really like to see because, you know, most people that apply to the MBA are very qualified. So what else do you bring? How are you going to enrich, you know, the fabric of the university? So a story that shows that unique and interesting aspect of your life story is a good thing to have as well. And then something that focuses well on mentorship or volunteering or community involvement can be good as well. It's really nice to show that you're somebody who's collaborative, somebody who likes to give back to others. So if you have a story, you know, from a volunteer project that you work on, or maybe at the office you're involved in a mentorship project where you're mentoring new hires, or you're trying to, you know, revamp the recruitment process to be more democratic. Stories like that also are really, really helpful to show that you're somebody who they can expect to continue to contribute meaningfully to the school.
Thank you so much. And so one applicant should tell four stories in the MBA essay. Is that true?
It really depends. I think the best thing to do is have kind of a library of stories. So I have, these four stories, maybe one more, maybe one less, that I can use for different essays. But in one essay, it depends a lot. If you're looking at a Harvard essay that's 900 words, that's as of today, April 1st. I don't know if they're going to change their question. But at the moment it's 900 words. What else do you want us to know about you? Awesome. You could fit up to your four stories in that essay if you can find a really nice, coherent way to do that. But if it's a 250 word essay, or Ross, Michigan Ross has 100 word essays about, when something happened. Pick one story and go with it. Tell that story really well and stick with that. So it varies a little bit on the prompt that they're asking you within the essay.
All right, thank you. And should these stories be real and your own ones? I mean, like, if you don't come up with a story, can you invent one, or you don't advise people to do that?
Yeah, this is one of my big reasons for not using ChatGPT. Not that I think, that AI can't help you, work on your grammar and your flow and maybe give you some ideas for a conclusion or something like that to then make your own. But a lot of times, if you have, AI write an essay for you, it's going to be completely fabricated, right? None of these things really happen to you. And that's lying. But in some cases too, that's plagiarism. And that is a reason for the schools to rescind your spot if they do find out that what you've said in your application is not true. And you do go through a process later on of a background check, of a verification process. It's a little different at every school. The requirements, what you need to provide, how deep they go into your stories, it's a little different for every school. And of course, if they see something that catches their attention, they might go deeper into it than the average applicant. So yeah, I always say, I mean, I think you should absolutely always be 100% honest. It's of course okay to, I think, choose to highlight the elements of that story that fit the prompt the best. So, for example, you're a consultant and 20 different things happened on this project. You don't need to tell me all 20. Just pick the one aspect of this that you really want to focus on. Great, I think that's smart. You're editing wisely. But, saying, "Oh, and then the project turned out this way," or "I had this whole thing, this whole leadership experience that never happened." I wouldn't recommend that.
Thank you. Yeah, we had with you one podcast about the topic how to be authentic when applying to a business school, and we spoke about that. And yeah, you were saying the whole time how important it is to be yourself and to be authentic, really, to get the attention of the admission.
Yeah, I agree. I still stand by that.
Yeah, just reminding to our listeners that they can listen to this podcast as well if they're interested in the topic. Should you pick a story from your professional or personal life?
That's a really good question. So, again, my answer, unfortunately, is it depends. I think the best applications show a mix of personal and professional. We have your letters of recommendation, we have your CV, so we're seeing a lot of what your professional story looks like. And it is really important to choose professional stories that give us more context, that show your excellence, your leadership, your ability to deliver results in your professional life. So that's really important. But it's those personal stories that a lot of times add that extra layer that make you more interesting, that show what makes you unique to your profile. And that can be a great way to show leadership and contribution outside of what you're already able to show through your professional story. So, mentorship, volunteering. Maybe you've worked with diversity, equity, and inclusion. Maybe you've experienced that yourself. That can be a really great way to add value to your application. So I generally recommend a balance so that they can see both sides of you.
All right. And do you recommend to exaggerate a little bit the story? I don't know if
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think there's a difference between exaggerating and, about telling your story well, right? I think telling your story well means, how do I choose good storytelling details and good storytelling elements and following, things like the STAR methodology so that I'm telling the story in a food, wait, oh, sorry, one sec. Let's redo this one. My dog snuck in here. Just a sec. Sorry, hurry. Sorry about that. Do you mind asking me again? Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. Don't worry. Yeah, we were speaking about exaggerating and telling a story well.
Yes. Yes. So in terms of should you exaggerate a story, is that the best way to tell a story? You know, how much should you maybe take from inspiration from others? I mean, I think that there's a really big difference between editing your story well and using good storytelling techniques and exaggerating it, or maybe crossing the line of what's true or ethical. You know, if you're using the STAR format, for example, that situation, task, action, result, that gives your story, you know, great structure that allows those elements to come alive, you know, telling us how it felt to be in the car when you were pulled over and, you know, maybe you were harassed by the police and this started you out on an activist campaign. You know, we had a client who wrote an essay like that. That's a really powerful story, right? And he's not exaggerating it. He's telling what happened, using a lot of details, using a lot of storytelling that puts us in the moment with him. And then, you know, applying it to a greater lesson that he learned and sharing how it shaped him. On the other hand, if you saw a story like that in an essay, a sample essay, and decided to make it his own, or ChatGPT suggested it, that's, I would say, definitely unethical, and exaggerating it to the point of saying, taking credit for other people's work, or, you know, saying that you did things that you didn't. I personally feel like that crosses the line and I would avoid it.
All right. And if you have the feeling that your story isn't so interesting or catchy or important, how can you fight with this feeling?
I have that happen a lot. People come to me and say, oh, I don't think I can apply for an MBA because I'm not interesting enough. Or, you know, I haven't, you know, come up with a cure for cancer. And I'm like, well, if that was the only criterion, like one person a year attending this school, like there's very few people. I mean, there are awesome people out there. But, you know, people who are winning Nobel Prizes, there's, you know, very few of those out there. And so I think that the main thing is kind of getting over that imposter syndrome. And what I've found is the best thing to do is get an outside perspective. Because a lot of times when you're looking at your own story, it can be hard to understand what's interesting and different and unique. And so if somebody else takes a look at it, especially someone, you know, like what we do with our clients who says, ah, you know, the schools are going to respond to this. They're going to like this aspect of your profile. This is really attention grabbing. A lot of times you say, wow, that's important, or that's interesting, or, oh, I never really realized there was value there. And it can help you understand more about the aspects of your profile that you might've written off. Or even just going through that kind of brainstorming process. We do a personal brand exercise with our clients to think back on a lot of experiences that they've had. And a lot of times they say, I didn't even realize something like that would be important. If we hadn't had this conversation, it never would have crossed my mind to bring it. So a lot of times I think having an outside perspective can be really helpful. If that's not possible, then, you know, there are a lot of resources online. I think Maria will link our MBA Resource Center somewhere in the podcast that you can sign up for. It has some of these exercises that you can do on a self-guided, in a self-guided way. And even hopefully that just kind of sparks some introspection, or talk to some friends, talk to family members to try to, you know, understand a little bit more about your story and recognize that you're probably a lot cooler than you think you are.
For sure. And what about if you have a great story, but you're not good in storytelling? What are the best tools to overcome this problem?
I really feel like there's kind of two ways that you could do it. The first is read tons of examples, read lots of blogs, you know, try to kind of synthesize information about, okay, this is what works, this is how it works, this is the process. You know, we learn through repetition, we learn by practice. So, you know, if you have the time, and you can do that, I think that can be really, really helpful. I think the kind of easiest way and most straightforward way is to have someone kind of help you with that. Somebody who, you know, already knows a lot about storytelling. For example, you know, our team of editors all have advanced degrees in writing. They've spent years and years working with storytelling, helping clients understand more about which stories to tell, how to shape them, how to guide them towards better essays. You know, sometimes it can just be helpful to bring in someone who knows, especially if you have, you know, a little bit less time. Sometimes that can be a good solution. So I would say I think those two ways are probably the best ways to do it if you're not really used to storytelling.
Yeah, going back to the topic of the story, it sounds to me that it will be good to pick up a story where you go out of your comfort zone and you describe the ways you handle the situation and you grow. Is that a good strategy?
Yeah, stories like that are great. A lot of times, you know, stories where you're outside of your comfort zone are stories where you're facing some kind of a challenge. And a lot of times, you know, when clients come to us with a story, we say, you know, this is great, but it's not very interesting. You know, you wouldn't watch a movie, for example, where, you know, the guy walks into the grocery store, everything happens normally, he buys his groceries, he goes home and lives a happy life, right? That's not very interesting. But, you know, maybe he goes to the grocery store and comes across, you know, some kind of portal to another world and can't get home, or, you know, something crazy like that, and then has to overcome this challenge. Like, okay, now I'm engaged. Like, how's he going to figure this out? What's he going to do? What's his next move? And the process of growth that that person experiences throughout that process of facing that challenge is really fascinating and really teaches us a lot about who that person is. So stories where you're out of your comfort zone are really great stories to choose. You want to be smart, though. Just because you're out of your comfort zone doesn't mean it's a good story. You want to think about, what am I showing through this process? What did I learn? Or how did I grow as a leader? Or how did it help me become a more refined, you know, advanced analytics professional? Or how did it, you know, shape my vision for creating impact in healthcare? So definitely, absolutely choose those types of stories and always be thinking, what's the takeaway? And how does that relate to my application strategy?
Thank you so much for this great advice. I'm thinking of the format of the MBA essay. Isn't it too short? I mean, isn't it very hard to tell a story that short? And say all this in like 100 words? Can you tell us more about the format of the MBA essay?
It's going to depend a lot. Again, if it's going to come down to a 100-word essay, we still want to use storytelling, but we're going to use a very streamlined form of storytelling. And if you look on our, if you search our blog, I think hopefully that'll probably be linked as well. We have some articles like how to write an essay in 250 words with some tips on how to edit for those types of essays. You definitely want to still use storytelling, but in a very condensed form. So you're going to set the scene very quickly. You're not going to spend a lot of time on context. You're going to spend more time on action and a little bit of time on result. Whereas if you have more space, maybe you give more context. Maybe you talk a little bit more about the challenge in detail. But essentially, if you just tell me what's on your CV and just recap what's on your CV, it's really, really boring. So even if you have a short amount of space, you can still use some storytelling elements. You know, are you going to be able to set the scene of, you know, I was sitting in the car on a warm, you know, night thinking about how I could generate an impact? Probably not. No. but can you still, you know, give us some kind of context that puts us in the mindset of understanding that this is a story? Yeah, absolutely.
All right. And usually, what are the most difficult parts of writing the stories for most of the people? Where do they meet?
I think I'm going to have to come back to context again, that a lot of people struggle with context, what's relevant to share and what's interesting. And that can be, it's really hard to self edit. You know, luckily I also have a great team with me. So whenever I'm writing something, I send it to them and say, you know, destroy it, mark it up, be brutal because I just put out what I thought was interesting, but from an outside perspective, you know, tell me what doesn't belong there. And that can be really helpful because a lot of times it can be difficult for us to judge our own work harshly. But also I think the other thing is that you really want to think, does everything that I've included have some sort of relevant role in the overall story? So if I'm sharing that, you know, my boss and I got into a disagreement, is that fundamental to the story or am I just adding a detail? Because if you say we got into a disagreement, I'm going to assume that the story is about communication and resolving conflict. If that's not the case, leave that out. If it's really about how you created a technical solution and you're trying to show off your analytical skills, leave that out. You're just going to muddy the waters. You know, we don't have hundreds of pages of a novel to explore the depths of character development and things like that. We're really just focusing on one specific characteristic, one specific aspect of your profile. So go back and look at that too. That's something that a lot of times I just see stories that are really muddy and confused, and then they're not very effective.
All right. So you have read and co-written so many stories, I guess. What is the best one that you have ever read?
Oh my gosh. Such... Oh, I don't even know if I could say that. That's like trying to say, what's your favorite book, or like, which of my dogs do I love the most? I don't even know if I could say that. I've read so many good essays. I think the ones that stand out to me the most are where people are really authentic, kind of coming back to that topic. They shared some of the struggles that made them who they are, you know, coming to terms with different parts of their identities, or different struggles that they faced and overcome, or different projects that they worked on that demanded a lot of them and that really, you know, had amazing results that they, you know, were so, so proud of, and used, I think, a lot of storytelling. Those are the ones that even now, 10 years later, I still remember. And those are, I think that's why using storytelling, that's why being authentic is so important, because of course, you know, you don't need to be memorable 10 years later. That would be cool. But you know, you do want to be memorable at the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of the month, when they're deciding who to call for an interview.
Okay, thank you. Do you have something to add, like for this topic?
Yes, absolutely. And it would be give yourself enough time, please. We can tell when you haven't written the essay with care. We can tell when you haven't given yourself a lot of time. You might think no, but when you read as many essays as we do, when you read as many essays as the admissions committee does, you know, keep in mind, some schools are reading near 10,000 essays a year. So if an admissions person has been there for, you know, 5 years, just imagine how many essays they've read. And it becomes very easy to pick out where people have been really careful and thoughtful and where people haven't. And I will also say it becomes very easy to pick out which essays have been AI generated and which essays have not been. There are just some telltale signs. Like I can tell, I'm like, hey, did you use AI to write this? I'm like, yeah, how did you know? I'm like, I don't know how to put my finger on it. You can just tell. So a lot of times I know people kind of use that as a tool when they're in a hurry. Again, I'm not totally against the use of it as, you know, a tool to help you to improve your writing, to maybe give you some brainstorming ideas or correct your grammar. But give yourself enough time that you can do a good job. You're investing so much time, so much effort. This is going to be a huge moment in your career where you're going to take a year or 2 years off. You're going to invest a lot of money into this. It's going to change the course of your life. Don't leave it for a month or a week before the deadline. You know, please, if you start as soon as you can, and really give yourself time every week to write your essays, refine your essays, get feedback. I think that's the number one thing that sets apart a good essay from a bad essay.
Thank you so much. And usually how long does it take? Like how many months do people need in average?
You're writing one essay for one school and they have two essays, for example. Could you do it in a month if you're really, really dedicated and you're, you know, working on this every day? I think it's doable. Could you apply for five schools in a month? I don't think you could probably do a good job. I would say on average, I would give yourself 6 months if you can. Again, there are some cases where potentially you could do it in a bit less, but I would say really 6 months is ideal or more.
All right. Thank you so much, Eileen, for this good advice that you gave us. And thank you everyone for listening. I will post, as I said, the link to Eileen's website so you can find her contacts and reach her easily. And I wish you a great day and wait for our next podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure. I hope the tips that I gave you guys today were helpful. I do also want to mention that we're launching more video content as well. So if you guys want super short tips, you know, you'll start to watch for those too on our Instagram and TikTok, Ellen Lolly's Consulting there as well. That should launch in, I think, next week. So we'll have some short tips over there as well to kind of complement our blog. So be on the lookout for that. And always, you know, I love to answer your guys' questions. We love to do podcasts about these questions. So, you know, hit up Maria, you know, hit me up, send us emails, send us ideas. You know, we love to make sure that you guys get the best support possible during the process. And so let us know.